Welcome back to the deep dive. Our job, as always, is pretty straightforward. We take a whole pile of sources. Sometimes it's dense contracts, economic data, or like today, a mix of glowing guest reviews and some very strict hotel rules. And we try to pull out the real story. Today, we're doing a bit of a luxury vacation shortcut for you. We're heading to Montego Bay, Jamaica, to really get under the hood of the Beyond the Sea boutique hotel. People call it this exclusive hidden gem, right? But we want to know how. How does a smaller place, not even on the beach, manage to charge, you know, up to $2,500 a night and still get these amazing five-star reviews consistently? So our sources are pretty comprehensive. We've got everything from their pricing, payment rules, even their specific towel policy, alongside these really detailed guest accounts praising the service. Our mission here is to figure out what truly makes this place different from your typical big, sprawling resort experience.
Yeah, and what's really striking from the get-go is how clearly they've defined who they're for. And maybe more importantly, who they are not for. They aren't chasing huge numbers of tourists or that, you know, party vibe. The whole way they run the place seems built on a very specific promise. One of the sources nailed it, I think. Where luxurious tranquility meets breathtaking ocean views for an unforgettable stay. It's definitely aimed at travelers who want more than just comfort. They're looking for real peace, privacy, and maybe even more authentic cultural feel, but specifically away from the main tourist hustle. Exclusivity and guaranteed quiet. That's the pitch.
Okay, so let's start with that location then, because being perched up on a mountain seems pretty central to delivering that quiet you're talking about. It's in the Barrettown community, St. Brandsburg. Why put it up there, away from the sand? How is that the first clue about their focus on tranquility?
Well, it's about creating distance, right? Both physical and psychological distance. If you're right on the beach, you automatically get crowds, noise, people walking by. By choosing a mountaintop, they immediately get privacy. And of course, those amazing views everyone raves about, ocean, water, mountains, it's all there in the reviews. They kind of isolate themselves from the hubbub, but, and this is key, they stay strategically convenient.
Right. And the sources really map out that convenience, how it sits relative to the rest of Mobay.
Exactly. It's isolated, yeah, but not remote. Look west, and you've got what the sources call the Golden Corridor of Tourism. That's where your big international names are: Hilton, Hyatt, Jewel Grande, Half Moon. Being near that means guests can easily access, you know, world-class golf like Cinnamon Hill or White Witch.
Without actually having to stay in the middle of all that activity.
Precisely. It's a smart balance, isolation when you want it, easy access when you need it.
And being up there also gives guests, apparently, quick access to some really good local food spots, the kind you might miss if you were just stuck in an all-inclusive.
Oh, definitely. It's apparently just a 3-minute drive to Scotchy's Jerk Eatery, which is world famous, yeah. Right? A must do. And then if you head east, you hit other local places. There's the Chill Out Hut for beach dining, and the sources get really specific about the Far Out Fish Hut.
Yeah, I loved that detail. They say it's the best Escovitch fish on the island, but then they warn you, call ahead, order in advance, because the wait is long.
Right.
That little detail tells you something, doesn't it? Even though you might be paying thousands a night, the experience assumes you're a savvy traveler, someone who values authenticity over, you know, instant everything.
That's a great way to put it. The hotel sets up this high-end experience, but it doesn't try to completely bubble wrap the guest from the real rhythm of the place. It's like curated authenticity.
Okay, let's shift to the hotel itself now, because this is where it gets, well, interesting. You've got this mix of really high-end modern stuff alongside some, let's say, very specific rules. First, the luxury side.
It's quite intimate, which reinforces that exclusive feel. Only 6 rooms and 2 suites. They've got these nice nautical names. The Shore, the Tide, the Wave. The Shore Suite, for instance, is apparently a 2-bedroom townhouse. So plenty of space feels more like your own place.
And the shared amenities seem geared towards that high-value guest, maybe business owners, people working remotely while traveling.
Spot on. Connectivity is a big one. The sources emphasize robust, reliable Wi-Fi. That's non-negotiable for remote workers. Plus, IPTV, multiple smart TVs. Then you have the pool, the deck, a waterfall garden, a lookout deck. They clearly get that their guests might need to, you know, run an international meeting from by the pool.
Okay, now let's get into the rules. The operational side. Because I'm looking at these prices, minimum $1,250 a night, potentially up to $2,500 around New Year's. That's serious money. Mm-hmm. How do they pair that kind of rate with rules that honestly sound a bit like being back in college? Ugh. But see, that's the core thing to grasp, I think. The high price and the strict rules. They're two sides of the exact same coin. They're completely linked. The price acts as a filter for the clientele, and the rules act as the guarantee for the experience they're paying for. And they start reinforcing this right away. Minimum one-night stay, 50% deposit needed when you book, the rest is due 30 days before you even arrive. Plus that mandatory $500 damage deposit hold on your card. They're signaling they want serious, committed guests who will respect the environment.
Okay, but let's look at some of these rules for keeping things quiet. They're incredibly detailed. Some might feel, I don't know, a little petty for what you're paying. Like the sources list charges for lost stuff. Lose your room key, $50. Lose the Rose Hall beach card, another $50. Even losing a beach or bath towel costs you $20. Why nickel and dime someone paying thousands? Because, arguably, that micromanagement is exactly what protects the macro tranquility. When you invest that kind of money in a peaceful stay, you're trusting the hotel to actively stop anything that might disrupt it. Charging a fee for losing something, or having specific rules about towels like please use the makeup towels provided, don't take bath towels to the pool, it sets a clear boundary. It's about respecting the property, sure, but maybe more about respecting the other guests' peace.
That actually makes sense. They're not just selling you a room, they're selling a highly controlled, curated atmosphere.
Right.
And that control really shows up in the visitor policy, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah. That's the clearest example. Quiet hours are mandatory, 11 p.m. to 7 a.m. Strictly enforced, absolutely no smoking inside, no pets. But the visitor rule is the big one. Any visitors need pre-approval, government ID shown. And zero visitors allowed on property after 10 p.m., full stop. That level of control ensures that your expensive, quiet evening isn't suddenly ruined because someone staying in another room brought back a bunch of unvetted friends.
So the deal is, accept the rules, pay the premium, and in return, you get a guarantee that everyone else there is playing by the same rules, protecting your investment in peace and quiet. Okay, let's pivot now to the human side. Because if this was just a nice building with a lot of rules, you'd expect more mixed reviews. But they seem overwhelmingly positive. The staff must be doing something very right.
They absolutely seem to be the key ingredient. The reviews aren't just saying staff was nice. They're using words like professional, welcoming, warm, friendly. Owners and specific staff, Ms. Amnette, Charnel, Mr. Donnie Doctor, get mentioned by name repeatedly. When guests say they were treated like royalty or it felt like home but on a different level, that tells you the staff's personal touch makes those strict rules feel less like restrictions and more like part of a smooth luxury service. And that personal touch flows right into the food experience, which seems to be a huge selling point. It's not just the food was good, it's described as personalized, tailored to what the guests actually like. They seem to offer a whole range from local Jamaican stuff to sophisticated Asian dishes. It sounds like very bespoke dining, not a resort buffet.
That level of customization, asking for a private chef, getting meals served right in your suite's kitchen, or eating by the pool, that's a significant upgrade.
It really is. And the sources even give the specific dining hours. Breakfast, 7-9 a.m., lunch, 11 a.m., 1 p.m., dinner, 5-9 p.m. So there's structure, yes, but the flexibility within those times, plus the staff tailoring menus, that's where the high-end service really shows.
Now, given they're up on that mountain, getting around could be a major hassle. Someone paying $2,000 a night doesn't want to be arguing with taxi drivers to get up and down a hill.
And this is another area where they add significant value, justifying that price tag. The hotel actively addresses the potential downside of the mountain location by offering transport services, apparently at low rates. This includes airport pickup, crucially, with a stop at the supermarket, which is smart airport drop-off, and daily round trips to key places.
Yeah.
So getting to the Tropical Bliss Beach Club or the Rose Hall Great House or those golf courses we mentioned, seamless. They handle the logistics, removing that stress. They even offer nanny services for an extra fee. It shows they're thinking about the complete needs of their specific clientele.
And because they're near that golden corridor, they've managed to partner up with some of those high-end neighbors for perks, right?
Exactly. Guests get 10% off golf at Cinnamon Hill and a pretty decent 20% discount at the Jewel Grande Spa. So they leverage the proximity to the big resorts without actually being a big resort.
It really demonstrates that the mountain location wasn't a compromise. It was a deliberate strategic choice.
Absolutely. Maximize the peace and privacy, but use smart partnerships in their own transport to keep guests connected to the best amenities nearby.
So let's bring this all together for you listening. Beyond the Sea Boutique Hotel looks like a fascinating case study in modern luxury that's defined by deliberate exclusivity. It's clearly for a traveler who wants top-notch modern comforts, especially that solid Wi-Fi, and really values personalized, tailored service. But crucially, they have to accept that this level of guaranteed tranquility comes with a premium price and requires submitting to quite a bit of operational structure and rule following. The rules are almost like a hidden amenity.
Yeah, we've seen how their success seems to depend on keeping perfect order right alongside that hyper-personalization. The strict rules on visitors, noise, even towels, they run in parallel with this incredibly dedicated staff and customized dining. Which brings up a really interesting question for you, whether you travel like this or just study the industry. In today's high-end travel market, are people increasingly willing to give up some personal freedom, some autonomy, in exchange for that guaranteed serenity and exclusivity? Is this kind of tight operational control actually becoming the new standard for top-tier luxury? Definitely something to think about for your next high-value getaway.